The occasional "brilliant" emerged from his ferocious chewing mouth. When the batteries ran out, he emerged into the darkened room and lay back with his head pillowed in his hands, apparently watching the squadron of X-Wing TM fighters that hung from the ceiling. They moved gently in the night breeze. But Adam wasn't really watching them. He was staring instead into the brightly lit panorama of his own imagination, which was whirling like a fairground. This wasn't Wensleydale's aunt and a wine glass. This sort of occulting was a lot more interesting. Besides, he liked Anathema. Of course, she was very old, but when Adam liked someone, he wanted to make them happy. He wondered how he could make Anathema happy. It used to be thought that the events that changed the world were things like big bombs, maniac politicians, huge earthquakes, or vast population movements, but it has now been realised that this is a very old-fashioned view held by people totally out of touch with modern thought. The things that really change the world, according to chaos theory, are the tiny things. A butterfly flaps its wings in the Amazonian jungle, and subsequently a storm ravages half of Europe. Somewhere in Adam's sleeping head, a butterfly had emerged. It may or may not have helped Anathema to get a clear view of things if she'd been allowed to spot the very obvious reason why she couldn't see Adam's aura. It was for the same reason that people in Trafalgar Square can't see England. Alarms went off. Of course, there's nothing special about alarms going off in the control room of a nuclear power station. They do it all the time. It's because there are many dials and meters and things that something important might not get noticed if it doesn't at least beep. And the job of shift charge engineer calls for a solid, capable, unflappable kind of man, the kind you can depend upon not to make a beeline for the car park in an emergency. The kind of man, in fact, who gives the impression of smoking a pipe even when he's not. It was 3 a.m. in the control room of Turning Point Power Station, normally a nice quiet time when there is nothing much to do but fill in the log and listen to the distant roar of the turbines. Until now. Horace Gander looked at the flashing red lights. Then he looked at some dials. Then he looked at the faces of his fellow workers. Then he raised his eyes to the big dial at the far end of the room. 420 practically dependable and very nearly cheap megawatts were leaving the station. According to the other dials, nothing was producing them. He didn't say that's weird. He wouldn't have said that's weird if a flock of sheep had cycled past playing violins. It wasn't the sort of thing a responsible engineer said. What he did say was, "Alf, you'd better ring the station manager." 3 very crowded hours went past. They involved quite a lot of phone calls, telexes and faxes. 27 people were got out of bed in quick succession, and they got another 53 out of bed, because if there is one thing a man wants to know when he's woken up in a panic at 4 a.m, it's that he's not alone. Anyway, you need all sorts of permissions before they let you unscrew the lid of a nuclear reactor and look inside. They got them. They unscrewed it. They had a look inside. Horace Gander said, "There's got to be a sensible reason for this. 500 tons of uranium don't just get up and walk away." A meter in his hand should have been screaming. Instead, it let out the occasional half-hearted tick. Where the reactor should have been was an empty space. You could have had quite a nice game of squash in it. Right at the bottom, all alone in the centre of the bright, cold floor, was a lemon sherbet. Outside, in the cavernous turbine hall, the machines roared on. And 100 miles away, Adam Young turned over in his sleep. Friday. Raven Sable, slim and bearded and dressed all in black, sat in the back of his slimline black limousine, talking on his slimline black telephone to his West Coast base.
"How's it going?" he asked.
"Looking good, Chief," said his marketing head. "I'm doing breakfast with buyers from all the leading supermarket chains tomorrow. No problem. We'll have Meals TM in all the stores this time next month."
"Good work, Nick."
"No problem, no problem. It's knowing you're behind us, Rave. You give us great leadership, Guy. Works for me every time."
"Thank you," said Sable, and he broke the connection.
He was particularly proud of Meals TM. The Nutrition Corporation had started small 11 years ago, a small team of food scientists, a huge team of marketing and public relations personnel, and a neat logo.